Tap tap. Tap tap. Double tap.
This week on Double Tap, an E3 collaboration special with Vexoid. With all the VR announcements.
Perhaps is not the most thing that we should be most excited about.
New games.
Hello everyone, I'm back!
And console news.
Trying to adopt the mobile phone model where we're going to have upgradable consoles.
This week on Double Tap, we collaborate with Vexoid, the brand new podcast on Audioboom, to nail down everything that happened at E3. Indeed, the wonderful Henry Inskip joined me, powered almost entirely by caffeine, after one hell of a long week covering the most exciting event in the gaming news. Thanks for coming in. I thought we'd start with the console news. So Microsoft first, we got two from them. Let's start with Project Scorpio. What's that one all about?
Sort of a luxury item, I think. The way they're trying to adopt this model, it seems, like the mobile phone model, where we're going to have upgradable consoles every few months, or every couple of years, rather than every sort of 8-9 years, like the generations that we've had in the past. So Scorpio is going to be this basically, you know, jump top Xbox One that's going to support all the Xbox One games in the past, but it'll just mean that you will be able to play games at 4K resolution. And the other big thing they're trying to push is have really, really good VR experiences. So it's for people, it's for the hardcore gamer, I think, who needs to have sort of the best equipment. For people who don't have an Xbox at all, I think it will be unlikely that they'll then jump in for Project Scorpio, because I think it'll be a lot of money. But for people who are very keen Xbox gamers, and also probably very keen PC gamers, they might be like, okay, I want a similar experience that I get on my PC with really high fidelity graphics, or as a console experience. So they might be interested in Scorpio.
Because another console they announced was the Xbox One S. How does that kind of compare with Project Scorpio?
So like the way to think about it is a smaller phone maybe. It's even got the S thing, which is very like Apple-esque, you know, to have an iPhone S. There's no actual technical improvements in the console. It might have sort of better cooling or something like that, but in terms of like improved hardware, it's the same.
So if you've already got an Xbox One, you're not really likely to...
No.
Okay, well, let's move on to PlayStation, and in particular, the VR announcement. PSVR is going to be released on October the 13th. It's going to cost £350, but the biggie, 50 VR games by the end of 2016... What was announced?
A lot of interesting ones. And the problem is that we didn't get to see a lot of actual gameplay apart from... Actually, I take that back. Apart from Resident Evil, that was a big announcement. And that really shows commitment behind PlayStation in how they believe that that PSVR is going to be a big thing. And that also commitment in the quality of it, because it's going to be a PS4 title. You can play it just like normal. But you can also, to not just have sections of the game, but to have the entire game playable in PSVR is something quite impressive. And they showed off a little sizzle reel of like various other games they're going to be doing. Like you can Final Fantasy 15 is going to have VR element to it, and then like various like huge franchises. What have we got here? We got like Star Wars Battlefront, which you knew about, but we now know it's called X-Wing VR Mission. That looks amazing. That looks really good. You know, who doesn't want to fly an X-Wing in VR? And then we're getting a Batman Arkham VR by Rocksteady as well. So it's these are big studios who haven't necessarily made VR games before, and also big franchises that are popular for PlayStation. So they're really putting everything into it.
Yeah. It's quite a risk to... They've got these big names, so people will be drawn in. But then if they're not great games, then it might be a disappointment.
Yeah, that's the thing. Problem with the thing that was lacking at this conference, which was the PlayStation 4K, which they came out a few days before and said it is real, but it won't be here, is that I feel that PSVR is made for PS4K. And there's been some rumours about this, how it doesn't run that well on the original PlayStation 4. But if that console doesn't launch till after PSVR, then there may be this thing where these experiences are actually fantastic experiences. These Star Wars, you know, game or Batman or Resident Evil are all like fantastic VR games. But if you run them on your stock original PlayStation 4, it's, you know, it's not going to run well. And people, you know, people will very quickly pass off VR if it doesn't work from out the box.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I need to see. I think it's, we'll hopefully get some demos, and I think hopefully they'll be demoing some of those at E3. So we'll get some sort of reviews and sort of previews from people who are there on how those experiences are working. Yeah, a bit early days, but exciting. I think it is exciting for VR. If you want to believe in VR being a thing, this is the way that they've got a proper push for it. They can't do it, just sort of put out a couple of titles. They've got to really go for it.
Like with, say, one of the biggest gaming franchises ever, Fallout 4 announced on VR. What are people saying about the demos?
Yeah, so there's a few people have tried this demo on HTC Vive, which is a good bit of VR kit, probably the best VR kit out at the moment, and it doesn't seem to run very well. Sort of reviews have been that if it sort of feels a bit odd, that the experience isn't like a full Fallout 4. You're in a particular area where there's no one really to interact with. You've just got the pistol.
Yeah.
And you sort of have to, you can move, because it's the Vive, you can move around a certain area, so you can actually have a little walk. But if you want to move actual distances, you have to sort of teleport yourself there.
Yeah.
And people are getting stuck in the scenery. Again, it's one of those things you'd have to, I think you have to experience to be able to say if how good or how bad it is. But from sort of the journos that are there, perhaps is not the most the thing that we should be most excited about.
The teleporting thing, because obviously Fallout 4 is an open world, and, you know, part of what's great is you can walk around and you just randomly stumble across stuff. And they did that really well with Fallout 4, that you just sort of stumble across like a bit of paper or a note that suddenly gives you a quest. So I don't really know how they could translate that into the VR if you're just teleporting yourself to different places.
Yeah, it's the problem with movement in VR. Either they've got motion sickness things to try and worry about, you've got, okay, do I need them to use a gamepad with it? And if so, then it means I can't use anything with the hand controllers that are, you know, the HTC Vive and Oculus Rift have. It's quite I would imagine, a developing nightmare to try and make a game that really wasn't built for VR and bring it to a VR world.
And then another big name Ubisoft revealed was the Star Trek VR game, where you team up with other people to man a Starfleet ship.
Captain's log, Stardate 2016.165. Starship USS Aegis is preparing for her maiden voyage. We've gathered some of the most decorated officers in the Federation to test her limits and to prove her place among Starfleet's finest ships. We're en route to a secret testing facility and are proceeding to our destination at maximum warp.
Exciting?
If you're a Trekkie, possibly. I thought it was a weird place to announce that at E3. Didn't think that was an E3 worthy announcement. I think the models were surprisingly shocking. Like, you, when you sort of saw the in-game footage, it doesn't look good. Like, it really doesn't look good. You know, the barrier to entry to play that game with your friends is everyone's got to have their own, you know, Rift or Vive or whatever, you know. That's a lot of money for a game that, you know, is not, you know, that exciting from the looks of things. And like, I think they just wanted to get some names, you know, up on the screen and come out.
Right, well, with so much to get through, I thought we'd pause here for a special gaming news where Jamie is going to catch us up with the rest of the top lines out of E3 before we delve into some of the games in a little more detail.
To everyone affected by the recent tragedy in Orlando, our hearts are with you. And you should know you are not alone. The gaming community mourns with you.
That's Xbox Chief Phil Spencer. He was the first of many gaming chiefs to start or acknowledge the 49 killed in the Orlando Pulse shootings that happened amidst the E3 hype. Microsoft then went on to announce games aplenty, including Dead Rising 4, Forza Horizon 3, State of Decay 2, and a spin-off to Witcher 3 called Gwent. Here's a little clip from Henry we caught earlier on his thoughts of that.
I think that'll do quite well. Even if it's just with a sort of smaller niche number of players, but I think that's really what they're targeting. I don't think they're going for like the Hearthstone community with this. It's really for the, you know, the Witcher 3 fan.
Phil Spencer also said that some Xbox One games might run better on Project Scorpio because games like Halo 5 with dynamic scaling won't need to scale their resolution to keep up the frame rate. Nintendo focused their pitches on the new Legends of Zelda game, and Final Fantasy 15 was yet another VR announcement. From Sony, well, Alice and Henry are going to chat about God of War, Days Gone, and Kojima's latest announcement in a moment. But they also announced a new Spider-Man and Marvel PS4 exclusive. That's titled Insomniacs, and also Call of Duty Infinite Warfare got an E3 trailer. And EA. Their headline was the Titanfall 2 announcement. They also spent a lot of time talking about their new esports game, Battleborn, where they trotted out stars like Jamie Foxx and Zac Efron to play the game on their live stream. It didn't go down so well, though. Here's one of the awkward encounters with the stars.
With players like Jamie Foxx, Zac Efron are going to be on those teams. Are you guys pumped for tonight's event?
Yes.
Jazzed. Can't wait. Dude, stoked.
Jazzed indeed. Oh, and Kanye West dropped a trailer for his Only One game, too. I know, that was probably the news that you were waiting for. That's all of your E3 news from me, Jamie Warham. But for now, back to Henry and Alice for more details and an in-depth look into those Sony games announced at the festival.
Okay, let's talk about the games, starting with God of War. Thoughts?
I mean, it was quite a nice treat. So they opened the conference with, you know, gameplay, basically.
No! You are not ready! Stay back!
I assume that gameplay was a E3 demo. We think it's probably fairly early on in development, so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that particular sequence isn't in the final game. But it's just showing off that we still have Kratos. It's being voice acted by somebody differently. And that they're taking a slightly different approach with him. He seems like slightly more vocal, and he's playing a sort of fatherly figure.
Boy, your mother's knife. It belongs to you now. Feed us.
What are we hunting?
You are hunting deer.
Which way?
Your hunt. You tell me.
South?
Is that a question?
South.
But you still got this sort of anger in him that you can feel. So it kind of feels a little bit more adult. And what I mean by that is, even though God of War is a very adult game, they're taking very much more serious tones with perhaps some of the narrative that we're going to have with him and his son and things. I think we're going to have these still amazing big fights that everybody likes God of War.
Back away, boy! Here's your chance. Show me you are ready.
Yes, sir.
If you notice the combat and the gameplay, if you know God of War, it's very quick hack and slash, sort of button spammy. Whereas this seemed like more precise and defined combat, but perhaps learning a little bit from games like Dark Souls and Bloodborne, you know, not to that degree, but like a little bit slower, more defined. But yeah, I would assume, and this is a guess from me, that this will be a PlayStation 4K title, and that would have been running on a PlayStation 4K dev kit, because it just currently says in development in terms of release. So I would expect when they announce that they'll give a launch window, probably not a date, but a launch window for when we'll see God of War 4. Great, that would be a great launch game for the console.
Next game we'll look at, which, as with anything post-apocalyptic, I'm very excited about, Days Gone got an E3 trailer.
Someone asked me once if I remembered how it all went down.
As if it happened so long ago that anyone could forget. So yeah, I remember.
I think I need to see a bit more. I think that's the thing. Gameplay looked good. Looked very much like it was a specifically made E3 demo. And what I mean by that is obviously the AI seemed to be turned off. A lot of the time these sort of zombie creatures were just like, they could have attacked him and they didn't. And he sort of had unlimited ammo on this gun that he was just firing into all of them. But the real takeaway from that was the tech that they've obviously put in, and I think that's what they wanted to show off about the number of them they can get on the screen at once and how they sort of all climb and clamber over each other and will fall down and things like that. So yeah, it's interesting to see. I want to know more, but I think we'll probably see that at something like PSX.
The Last Guardian finally got a release date.
Yes, thank God.
Another release date.
So, October 25th for The Last Guardian.
Supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, I've been joking about it ever since. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that gets pushed back to November. If they pushed it back again, it would be too... I think they'll just release it at whatever state is in on the 25th now.
I think they need to.
It's true, they need to, and it can't be delayed, especially into 2017, because Last Guardian is really the only first-party Sony exclusive that they've got this holiday. There's nothing else really coming along.
Yeah, that's true. So what actually has taken them so long with The Last Guardian? Because it's been in development since 2007, right? And it was meant to come out in 2011?
Yeah, I think it's been, I think, just under 10 years, eight or nine years. There's some interesting videos around. I think IGN might have done a series on The Last Guardian when they spoke to the, you know, development studio. And according to them, it was supposed to be a game that was short. It was supposed to, you know, they were trying to, because Ico and Shadow of the Colossus took so long in development, their aim for The Last Guardian was actually to make a game as quickly as possible, which is the irony behind it. I think they just struggled with reaching the vision. It's very an artistic style game, and that's what they're known for. And I think there's probably was frustrations there where, as we were reaching the end of the PlayStation 3's life cycle, and they hadn't quite hit what they were going for, they then had to sort of pack things up and start again for PlayStation, and then because they got pushed back to PlayStation 4. So I think that probably added some extra time as well. I don't think we'll ever know exactly what it was that's kept it going for so long, what the individual sort of frustrations they had and difficulties.
Does the excitement for people not run out after a while?
Yes, I think it has, and I think it already has. I think The Last Guardian will sell well, but I don't think it will sell as well as
it could have done.
And I think that's just because the hype train has been built up so much that now it's sort of fallen away because it's gone on for so long. Like, it's just like, oh, it's finally here. I can't wait to get my hands on it. But I'm kind of exasperated with the whole thing. So it's like, yeah.
Making a bit of a comeback is they announced the remastering of the Crash Bandicoot games and also adding him... being added as a character in the new Skylanders?
In Skylanders, yeah. Skylanders Imagination. So, yeah, you'll be able to... get a figure and play him in that, and his model doesn't look that bad actually. I was quite surprised.
Yeah, I was impressed because I just had fears of what it was going to look like.
I honestly can't believe they're doing that. Like, it's really was probably one of the big surprises for me. And as a Crash Bandicoot fan, I'm quite excited by the idea of playing Crash Bandicoot on my PlayStation 4. But I don't know if it's a really smart decision. It is a very old game. You start remastering a game, it can work, but I think with a game, if you're remastering PlayStation 1 games, the difference is going to be quite a lot. And will it still feel like that same game you have the nostalgia for?
Make him look like a real Bandicoot this time?
It'll be intriguing, I think. I part of me just thinks that you should that they should just let that franchise go. And because the thing is, the consumer isn't always right, and I think there is something in that. People will always say, oh, I want this and I want that, because they have attachments to them, but it's not always necessarily the right for the franchise or for the company either.
And then another sort of surprise, Hideo Kojima made an appearance with a really weird trailer that had Norman Reedus in it again.
Please join me in welcoming one of the most creative talents in the history of gaming.
Hello, hello everyone. I'm back.
Yes, Death Stranding. That was exciting. I think. I mean, to talk about Sony's thing generally, like I think it was a very, very good show. A really good show, actually.
They packed a lot in.
Yeah, they packed a lot in, and they just sort of went with it. Kept just basically trailer, gameplay. Here we go. We're not going to sort of pad it out like Ubisoft's conference. And you know, that was a real, you know, a real blow probably to Microsoft, who also had a very good conference. And that's the thing people forget now, because Sony's was so good. People will forget that Microsoft also was a very good conference. But you know, if you've got Kojima, you know, it's quite hard to compete. If you get Kojima coming out on stage announcing a brand new exclusive coming to the PlayStation 4, you know, it's exciting. People love Kojima. People love Kojima's games, and you know from Kojima that it's gonna be something different or something mental. I think is a way, other way of looking at it. So, that was special. That was a nice moment. I think it was predictable that he was going to be there, but I actually didn't think we would see a trailer at all. I expected him to come out and we'd see a logo,
yeah,
and then everyone would still go mental.
Yeah.
But the fact that they showed that off, and also that Norman Reedus is still involved, obviously after the disappointment with PT, or Silent Hills, I should really call it. Very good, very good. I don't think we'll see that game until 2019, probably. Okay. I mean, I think that they're starting development on that game now.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably E3 2018 will get the gameplay release date, and it'll be out 2019 probably. That's a very, very far away prediction. But that is what I would expect.
But you've got it on recording, so now
exactly.
You can be like, "See,
yeah.
I told you so." Well, you heard it here on Double Tap first. And with that, it just leaves me to say a big up to the whole team at Vexoid, but especially Henry, who's probably still sleeping after E3. Go check all of their coverage out from the event and keep an eye out for when we at Double Tap head over and join their podcast at the beginning of July. But for now, see you next week.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production, presented by Alice Taplin and produced by Jamie Wareham.
Double Tap.